Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, with the very icky bum, I think, by the sound of things, with a bit of a dicky tummy.
Hey, that was off. That was off-air conversation.
How the devil are you?
That was an off-air bit of detail to my life recently.
How are you?
I've just got a bit of an upset stomach because I had my first Indian takeaway for about 2 years on Sunday. And going by what my parents said, wasn't even a good one. It's made them feel a bit icky as well. And they, you know, they chuck those Indian takeaways down on a weekly basis when they're too hungover on a Sunday. No, I was going to talk about my second jab. That's what thinking about right now.
I didn't want to talk about that. But I will ask you about your second jab. Your second jab, though, because you've got that this podcast.
Yeah. So do not run long. I do have to. It's at 5:30. It'll take me about 15 minutes to bike ride there. So the show needs to be done by 4:30. It's not AEW. Yeah.
An AEW show, I would expect. Like, if it was an AEW show, I'd be like, I'd be a bit concerned about that. But a Raw show, I think you'll be fine.
Especially because we can just say, we can just say what happened last week, but reverse the result.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. The only downside is we're wearing different T-shirts. But if we had been wearing the same T-shirts, we probably could have just played last week's podcast and gotten away with it.
Yeah. How are you, though?
I am pretty good. I had a very nice weekend. Went to Hastings to go see a friend of ours, which was lovely. So we spent all day in a pub, which was delightful. But I couldn't go to Hot and Heavy because I was driving. So I had like one pint at sort of like midday, and then I was on the lemonade for the rest of the day.
Uber back.
Well, yeah, but it's a pretty pricey Uber because it's like a
200 quid at an Uber.
It's like a half hour drive, maybe 35 minutes.
Oh, really?
To Hastings from my place, yeah.
Only half an hour?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's Uber territory. Why would that be? That's a bit. When are you getting Ubers then?
Well, because that's quite an expense to have when like I could just drive home.
But you can get smashed and it'll be far more fun that way.
Well, speaking of, so we had a barbecue the following day. We had us on a Sunday, had some friends over for a barbecue. And, you know, people bring over their own drinks. It's BYOB. Mm. People bring over their own booze and food and that. And I put the barbie on. Although we were rained out, unfortunately, I had to do an indoor barbecue in the end. Bloody British summer. But one of the couples that came over, my good friends Dan and Alex, they brought over a bottle of Prosecco. And Alex had a glass of that Prosecco, and my other friend Katie also had a glass of that Prosecco. The problem that we had here is that Alex is the mother of a toddler, and Katie is the mother of a one-year-old and was also driving. So Alex essentially had that one glass of Prosecco for the entirety that she was there, because she had to do motherly duties with her toddler and make sure that her toddler wasn't banging her head and things like that. And Dar couldn't drink that much because she was driving. So last night, I suddenly opened up the fridge and I was like, oh man, there's a bottle of Prosecco in here that I need to... I can't just go down the sink. It's open. It can't go down the sink. That's a waste. There's starving kids in Africa. I shouldn't let this thing go to waste.
They could have that Prosecco. That's exactly. Very bougie to pour Prosecco down the sink laughing.
Exactly. Well, that's what I thought. I'm such a generous man. I was like, well, I better drink this myself.
And wasn't there a homeless fellow nearby that you could give it to?
I live in a lovely part of Kent. Thank you. There's no homelessness around these ways.
Wasn't there a local drunkard then? You know, someone who's a bit older, in their 60s, and they wander the street trying to start conversations with people, particularly around the post office.
I haven't seen anyone yet. Oh,
they'll be there
just yet. It's they'll Kent. Be around at some point. Yeah,
I mean, a big puffy red nose, big cheeks. You know,
that will be me.
I call them Dad.
So I and my wife, for health reasons, is not drinking at the moment. So I had to have the bottle of Prosecco to myself. What did it end up being, Ollie? Was 3/4 of a bottle of Prosecco on a Monday night. And Jesus. I started this adventure at about 8:30. It was
it's gonna interfere with sleep.
I went to bed at 10. So I drank that 3/4 of a bottle of Prosecco in about 90 minutes. And let me tell you, I was feeling a
bit... bubbly.
It is bubbly. It was gassy a little bit. I've actually felt the effects of it a little bit today.
You're hungover because you pretty much downed a bottle of Italian champagne, let's call it, on a Monday night. Luke, are you doing okay? Is this a cry for, lockdown's been tough on everybody?
Any other week, this would feel like a cry for help. But in reality, it was just that I didn't want to let the Prosecco go to waste. So I drank it all.
Yeah, definitely a legitimate reason. What what gets me is a lot of the third world mock us for our first world problems. But honestly, have you guys tried to finish off a whole bottle of Prosecco?
When you don't want
time to go to bed, when you don't want to, that's going to you're going to have that feeling on your teeth when you brush your teeth with your expensive whitening toothpaste. It's not all easy,
it
third
really
world
isn't easy
living up in here.
Straight white male with his own home in his 30s. Yeah. It's hard, mate. It's really, really difficult at times.
Nothing to do with being male. It's the whole West. This is how the entire West live.
The other thing I wanted to mention before we get into the show itself, because I didn't actually finish my story from last week. I said I got new neighbours that moved in next to me.
Yeah.
And we went off on another tangent. I can't remember what we talked about. But the reason why I brought it up is because 24 hours after they moved in, little rat-a-tat-tat at the door. It's my mate Tim, my new next door neighbour. What a lovely bloke that he is.
You've got a new mate.
And we're just having a nice
little
chat.
I didn't sign off on this.
He came round.
I've got
borrow...
to vet all your friends. That's part of your employment conditions.
He came round to borrow my drill.
Ooh, manly.
I felt pretty manly, I'll be honest with you. It's the most dad thing I've ever done in my life. Tim was like, can I borrow your drill? Have you got a drill that will fit this drill bit? And I said, Tim, I'm your man. I actually do. So we went into the garage, had a bit of a chat about the garage and the space in the garage and what we're doing with said space in the garage. And then he also was like, oh, I couldn't be cheeky and ask you for an extension cable, have you? And I was like, oh, of course. I've got a spare one actually knocking about. Went inside, got that and handed it over to him. And then he asked me for, and I don't know, the technical name for the tightener bit of a drill. And he said the technical name for it. But do you know what, Davis? I knew what he was talking about. And I said, sorry, Tim, I should have given you that first time round. Went to the garage, found that, handed it over. And it was exactly the right size for the drill bit that he needed. Oh, it was, what a conversation. I was giddy by the end of it.
When, well, it's because you were half pissed on champagne, I suspect. When he asked you for the extension cable, you should have, if that was me, I would have completely changed my expression, gone deadly serious. Isn't you taking the piss there, mate? Because that would be, and then you smile again and go, no, I'm just kidding. You want to test them, don't you? You don't want to be too friendly. You want to keep them on their toes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so he's my new friend. I'm hoping that he's into board games. So, you know, maybe. But anyway, let's talk about Raw. Here it is.
Mm. Fans haven't been back for even a month, and WWE's already sick of them trying to pipe in fake crowd noise and then screwing it up. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen. And today's Wrestle Talk podcast edition of the Raw Review is sponsored by
Geology, which is a men's skincare regime, which we'll be going into in a little bit. This is the pack that I got for my regimen after I did the free quiz that you can do in the link down below. And it is wonderful. In fact, I was going to say this when we get to the plug a bit later when we get to the actual sponsorship segment. I had a barbecue at the weekend and a friend of mine, without prompting, said to me, "Your skin looks amazing at the moment." And I was like, that is because of Geology. So click the link in the video description down below. Go and do the free quiz there. Find out what your regime will be.
We'll get into that after the Reginald Geme, the Reggie Geme. We'll get into that after the chats. Get all your chats, of course, into wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out everyone over $5 or more by the end of the show. And if you haven't already, give us a subscribe. We're wearing the same t-shirt. Isn't that reason enough to subscribe? Have you seen, by the way, it's insane. I've started doing a little dance at the open of the WrestleTalk news.
I have.
And it is actually, honestly, tripling the amount of subscribers we get on there.
Are you trying to say that everyone who watches the show is a filthy mark? And they'll do anything you tell them as long as you do a silly little dance for the marks.
No, I think it's more that everyone likes to troll the host.
Rich did say, producer Rich, before we came on air, said, "I will do whatever you want if you just squeeze an entire bottle of the Geology stuff onto your forehead at the end of the stream." I'm going to say no to that, however, because I didn't really want to use this all. I want to use this in the right way, in the way that it was intended.
Anyway, there you go. There it is for the WrestleTalk podcast channel. Subscribe. Right. This episode of Raw was last week's episode of Raw, but with the decisions reversed. So if you lost last week, like Keith Lee, like T-Bar and Mace, like
Nikki Ash,
Nikki A.S.H., sorry, to use her full name, almost a superhero, Nikki A.S.H., why do you need to have both of those there? I thought the purpose of an acronym was to not then have to say the full slogan before the person's name.
Because you get the gimmick over that way.
Yeah, it's definitely getting over with me. Everyone who lost last week, by and large, I think apart from Damian Priest, won this week in the same freaking match. So bit of a boring Raw. What's crazy is that this is Chicago, and they were a great crowd. And if you just gave them a little bit of something, like, here's Mustafa Ali, he's from this place, they just went crazy, unprompted. There's no reason that any fan really should be into Ali the way WWE have presented and booked him. Yet still, love him. The main event, the crowd reaction was fantastic. Keith Lee winning, crowd reaction was fantastic. Open goals we're talking about here. WWE. This is the best that a crowd is ever going to be to them. And still, the booking, the laziness of the creative ground this audience down to the extent where they chant for Bray Wyatt, they chant for CM Punk, although that was always going to happen. and WWE have to pipe in crowd noise like it's the Thunderdome.
Yeah, this was, I mean, this was a boring episode of Raw. Real, real boring. And the more it went on, the more boring it got, because you suddenly was like, wow, this whole thing is really like control C, control V, but also with a bit of find, replace, and just sort of switching around the winners to make sure that everyone was flattened out. And there were so many things on the show that I was just like, why have you done it this way? Like Rhea Ripley beat Nia Jax because of Shayna Baszler interference. And then after the match, Rhea Ripley lays out Nia Jax with her finishing move. I was like, well, why didn't you just lay her out with the finishing move and pin her with your finishing move? Why did you need the Shayna Baszler nonsense? There was just so many things. I was like, why have you done this that way? And like, it was a boring show. And like, the crowd chanting CM Punk, and I think either WWE did a good enough job of sweetening the crowd enough so that the CM Punk crowd chants were not thunderous throughout the building, that it really only felt like a small pocket of fans were doing the CM Punk chants. It was only a small pocket of fans that were doing the "We want Wyatt" chants. It really sort of like, I think this was a bit of a microscope under the argument that not every wrestling fan is on Twitter. So when people are like, oh, well, wrestling is not written, no, wrestling isn't as good anymore because everyone knows the results because they're reading it on Twitter. I don't really think that's the case. I think it's actually just our small bubble is the ones who are reading the results ahead of time. And we're the ones then sort of complaining about things.
It's Chicago. Now, I disagree. I think you've seen the videos of people there live. You get it a lot when people are in the, like a few AEW shows lately. Well, me and Luke might say, yeah, but the crowd were, they seemed a bit quiet for this match or this match. And people who were there were like, oh my God, no, it was so loud. So there's so much about how the crowd are mic'd, how like the music's piped in, all of these things of production and broadcast that factor into what us not in the building experience. And I think you said it there. It's not that there was a small amount of fans chanting for Punk. Going by the videos on Twitter, That was the whole crowd. Because you're not going to have... crowd. If a small portion in Chicago is going to chant CM Punk, that is going to spread quicker than the Delta variant.
Well, can I give you my theory on this? Because I've been thinking about this a lot this morning. Also, I haven't seen your Raw review yet. However, I have found out that you give this episode 3 out of 5. Are you high?
I don't care anymore.
Anywho, so here is my theory on a lot of this. I thought it was very telling that the chants that we got for this evening were CM Punk. They were, we want Wyatt, we want Becky, we want tables. And during the Keith Lee Karrion Kross match, a very, very light NXT chant. Those were sort of like the big sort of five, like we're trying to hijack the show type chants, right? The We Want Tables one's pretty much standard because it's a hardcore match, so the crowd runs through the tables. What three letters were not part of that?
WWE.
AEW. The crowd were not chanting for AEW. So I know a lot of people are like, oh man, it's because CM Punk's going back to AEW. I get the feeling it's more just because we're in Chicago and Chicago like to chant for CM Punk. It's less about Punk going to AEW, because if it was, they would also be chanting AEW, but they weren't. They were just specifically chanting for CM Punk, which is what Chicago do anyway, regardless of the news that Punk has got. So I seem to think here that perhaps AEW isn't on this sort of like big sort of wave of momentum that some people think within the wider wrestling world. I think this was just the usual hardcore WWE crowd in attendance, not AEW fans in attendance. I think this is really that sign of a split audience.
Well, two things there. AEW isn't a chant. Even at AEW shows, people
totally
don't chant
is.
AEW.
Yes,
I cannot remember.
Do.
No, they chant for the wrestlers. They chant, this
and
is awesome.
AEW, AEW, AEW.
Never really heard that in a match. And it's not something that's had a chance to spread organically around indies or other places. So I push back on the idea that AEW is a popular chant anyway. Secondly, I'm not saying this is an AEW chant. The CM Punk chant has never been a pro something else chant. It's always been an anti-WWE chant. There could be something not related to Punk at all, and people will chant CM Punk, because CM Punk, when fans chant it like that, doesn't mean we want CM Punk. It means this is crap. This is boring. I don't like it. And me saying CM Punk is a very, very abbreviated version of saying this guy left your company because you're creative. The way you push people, the whole business structure sucks. It's an anti-WWE chant. When they say CM Punk, they're saying, I hate WWE right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Like, this segment is not good. I'm not enjoying it. Do something better.
Anyway, we should touch on the botch that happened. So, remember I said last week that Almost a Superhero Nikki, ASH, sounded like she had piped in cheers in her music? And you were like, I don't know if I can hear it. And now, like, I don't know if, we still don't know if that was the case. That's what I heard. But, like, not enough to know. This week definitely had piped in noise, which is mad when you're in Chicago for your third Raw back in front of live fans. Like, that is indicative of a crap product right now. They should be doing the work for you.
Yeah, so this was mostly noticeable in the Drew McIntyre entrance, when Drew McIntyre was coming down and you could hear, like, the reaction of a crowd. But underneath Jimmy Smith's and Corey Graves and Byron Saxton doing their usual terrible commentary, you could hear Michael Cole quite clearly going, 16-time world champion. So it was obviously a bit of audio from a John Cena entrance, like a bit of crowd audio from a John Cena entrance that was being played underneath here. Now, a lot of people have highlighted this to be like they botched playing the audio because you shouldn't have had the Michael Cole commentary on there. However, it has been clarified. So Sean Rossap mentioned this on the Fightful post show, that it wasn't them adding in pipe. It wasn't in piped in crowd noise. What they were doing was accidentally playing a commercial underneath the audio when they were like, so they pressed the button for a commercial that had them mentioning John Cena, which then made it into the main dub. So here's what Sean said. They laid some audio over certain spots tonight. We're going to go ahead and talk about that. It happened in Drew McIntyre's entrance. I was told by someone in WWE it was some sort of production error. It wasn't necessarily them trying to lay audio over it. At least that's the line I was given. It was like a commercial or something like that.
What, like a subliminal commercial?
No, basically it's just
WWE,
like maybe like
come when see SmackDown.
When Raw rolls on, because someone gets knocked out of the ring, they would have then played a commercial to be like, come into your hometown soon. It's WWE, it's 16-time world champion John Cena, and he's going to diddly-dee. And that commercial was played underneath the audio during Drew McIntyre's entrance. So it wasn't them trying to play up Drew's entrance by piping in crowd noise. It was supposedly, at least this is what, you know, is being reported, just a production error.
So what was the other spots on the show?
So the other spots of the show, I think were like the people talking about was them trying to like quieten down CM Punk chants or the Bray Wyatt chants or things like that. Because as I said, like, I think it's just them just dropping the mic so that it doesn't sound as loud as it did. Because I don't know, because I thought it was a weird reaction for Goldberg. When Goldberg came, because like Goldberg's name got mentioned, the crowd booed massively.
Yeah.
The crowd really did. They cheered Bobby Lashley, like this all-conquering hero, and booed Goldberg so loudly. And then, just as MVP was doing his promo, the crowd started chanting for Goldberg. And I was like, so are you into Goldberg? And then he came out and got a mega reaction
crazy,
for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, so you do like Goldberg then? And then they started to chant for Wyatt. I was like, so what do you want? Like, it was, I noticed that it was a mixed reaction for Goldberg, basically.
That makes total sense to me. That did not stand out as weird. I was like, it was like, boo, we don't want Goldberg, but Goldberg comes out, yay, Goldberg! But look, people, Goldberg's entrance is so over that people will cheer for that no matter what. It's like a Pavlovian thing. Remember when Cena came back at the Rumble all those years ago and the crowd was like, oh my God, way! And then they almost go, wait a second, we don't like this guy. Boo! So it's a bit more like that. But yeah, okay, that's interesting about the audio spots. I could have sworn they were piping in noise. And I said that last week as well.
But you know what? We could be sat here, like, that could just be an excuse that it was a production error. But all we've got to go on is that's what Sean said was told to him by someone inside of WWE, that it wasn't them trying to sweeten the noise. It was just a production error.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, let's see what you guys think on the Ultra Chat, please. WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them over $5 or more. Anthony Velasquez, you would think WWE would put on a good show to try and avoid the Wyatt and CM Punk chants in front of a rowdy Chicago audience, but they just continue to put on a bad Raw show. Hey, it's 3 out of 5, Anthony.
Apparently so.
Jake Nichols, fans were cheering for Punk and Wyatt last night. Fun fact, in their last singles ventures on pay-per-view against a certain Big Red Machine, both stars were unsuccessful. Backlash 2016 and Backlash 2009. Hashtag Kane facts. Cheers, Jack. This is going to be like a new Juventud Guerrera thing. Is it? Bring back Kane. And Silent Suspect 00 says, I didn't expect to get quite so excited when the crowd popped for Shayna taking her jacket off as if she was about to lay out Nia. In my opinion, if they wanted to split them, this was the perfect opportunity in front of a Chicago crowd.
Yeah, I would say so. We'll get onto that in a little bit, I guess. But yeah, it felt like they teased the split but didn't do it. And I feel like they've teased the split between these two a fair number of times at this point, that they could have just done it here.
I'll just do a few more. The Portuguese Mr. Davis. Hey, boys, been a while since my last chat. The internship at the bank has been great. They're loving my job at the moment. Hopefully I can stay here on a contract. About Raw, it was a show. Great wrestling. Storylines progress, kind of. 2 out of 5, I guess. 2 out of 5's not too far away from 3 out of 5. Hannah Allen. Raw was an S-word house. As a consumer of premium lovable content, you watch us, Hannah. Evil and good. Oh, right. She is going to actually talk about us. Evil and good twin. OMG, Luke, you full gaslighted Ollie. And it honestly made me cry. Well done. You played well, but gosh, you owe Ollie a hug. Lots of love. Jam that jam. LIW F444 life.
Now. In my defense, because a few people like took me to task being like, you played really unfairly when you did that to Ollie in Blowing the Clock. So if you haven't seen it, going over to No Rolls Barred, our tabletop channel we've got over there, and us playing Blowing the Clock Tower. In my defense, I didn't know I was going to do that until I got into the room. And really, you and I just sort of like, we were just doing the shtick that we were doing like throughout the rest of it, which was like, you're the son of a bitch. No, you're the son of a bitch, like that. So we did that. And I responded to you doing it. And then when you said, you don't have to pretend in this room, I thought, but I could though. And that's when that was when the idea came to mind that maybe I will just try and fake this a little bit. Add some confusion.
Whatever you have to tell yourself. Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. I must admit, I'm disappointed. The cage page spotting on Dark was 0, the same I would give Raw out of 5. Not watched in months. I watched for the Chicago crowd and Bray Punk chants. For the Raw review, you should remove 5 and add 0 instead. Jam that jam. They'll do one this year. They always do. Griffo Chaz. Last week, I was the only one that backed Raw. This week, I can't. When the best part of the show is Ricochet sliding through the dripstick into steel steps, you know you have a problem. Goldberg's son's facial said everything about this show. Yeah, he has, like, lost all of the enjoyment for being a fan of wrestling. Younger Sundberg was like, whoa, shirt off.
Yeah, I know. Sundberg was like, I wasn't sure if that was the same Sundberg. He's aged like 10 years since we last saw him.
It's been 5 years.
Do you know what? Actually, I didn't realize.
He's got those Goldberg genetics.
Sean pointed this out on Twitter. Goldberg's run as a part-timer in WWE has been longer than his entire run in WCW.
No.
Well, yeah, because he was only a top guy in WCW in like 97, 98. So... And he's been a part-timer in WWE for the last 5.
Just 2 more now from Mr. Kajili. Hi, guys. As an Alexa fan, I was scared for her in this crowd, but I like to say thank you to Chicago for being respectful enough to not boo or harass her last night. I hope that she can get through this and turn all the hate to gold again and beat Eva. Well, you know, you don't know how the crowd actually reacted because those were pre-taped segments.
They were definitely not playing audio from the crowd during those segments. I think it was wise for them not to bring her out in front of the audience.
And Mr. Gajili, looks like they've just sent the same chat again. So cool. Thank you. Before we get on with the full Raw review, let's hear from our wonderful sponsor.
Geology. It's men's skincare reinvented. It's a simple skincare formulated for daily use. All you've got to do is click the link in the video description down below. If you're watching this on Catch Up, it'll be the pinned comment. And you can do a free survey on there. And it will ask you questions about how old you are, what sort of things you want to get out of this. And then they will give you A regiment. Yes, for 24/7 use. It's personalized for your skin, the benefits that you want to see. Great for individuals with sensitive skincare, acne, dark eye circles, or wrinkles, of which I actually have a few. So I did the 30-second quiz, and I then got sent this lovely box, which is absolutely delightful. So let's see what I got. Mm-hmm. So I got regiment number 30, and it gives you a morning routine and a night routine. My morning routine includes me using my everyday wash and my Vital morning face cream. Mm. And then at night, I do the everyday wash again, but add in the night cream and, more importantly for me, because of the bags under my eyes, an eye cream as well. My wife actually gave me some hints and tips on how to sort of like apply that. Not that I really need it, because it's very detailed on what I should do.
That's good.
It's a very, very good service. As I said, I had a barbecue on the weekend and someone legit said to me, your skin looks really, really good. And I've only been using this for about a week. So I am very excited to use the rest of this. You can continue your 90-day supplies and subscribe and go a la carte. It's basically, you're in control. Head over to geology.com and take their free skincare quiz to save up to 40% on your 30-day trial and click the link below. That's geology.com to save 40% on your 30-day trial.
Real talk right now. Real talk. My skin, as I've always had like crusty eyebrows, gets really dry here. I'm really dry here. I think everyone has like a spot on their face where it gets dry. But in lockdown, when I was just indoors a lot, it just went so bad. I'd like, it was all here on my face as well. Like, I had such dry skin. I get beard draft. It all fell on my black shirts and stuff. And my lady partner was like, you need to start having a skin regimen now. And I was like, I don't know what, like, what is that with moisturizer? And she was like, no, you need like squalene cleanser and this thing and that thing. I was like, what? And then like, I did some research and it was like, you need to do it before it's too late, because this will make you look younger when you're older. So yeah. It's not even for like now it works, but it's also like you're doing yourself a favor in 10 years. That's how Hollywood people don't look so haggard. So yeah, if I had that like 6 months ago, that would have been amazing. That would have solved all of those problems. And yeah, I might actually sign up to that.
I think you should, yeah. Geology.com. Links in the video description down below. Our moderators should probably be plugging that as well. Thank you so much to Geology for being a sponsor on today's show.
Really helps us out. Yeah, and please do, like, it helps if you just click the link. That's all you have to do, 30 seconds, and then that, like, shows the advertiser that people, you know, will do what we say effectively. So just all you have to do is click the link, and that helps us out. So this episode of Monday Night Raw, unfortunately, we do have to talk about it. I'd prefer to talk about skincare, but we do have to talk about Raw. You notice they've got the dun, 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 the opening bumper sting. Mm-hmm. Woo! That's Ric Flair's woo. I mean,
he was only released yesterday. Like, they didn't have time to plan for this. They were planning on, like, you know, having Aleister Black merchandise up on the shop, yeah, and then released fair. Him. Like, you know, they aren't planning this far ahead with a lot of their releases. Plus, I don't think they factored in that Ric Flair would call them up and be like, I think your company sucks and I think your booking is terrible. Please let me go, because I don't want to be... I'm not even on TV and I don't want to be associated with this show.
Meltzer has said that's not the way it went down.
Has Did he you hear now? This? I haven't. No, I haven't listened to Brian and Dave yet.
Meltzer said a text was sent from Rick to Vince criticizing the product and the treatment of Ashley, Charlotte Flair. And it was a Vince McMahon decision to let Rick go.
As so like not a so much warning?
As what? How do you mean?
Well, like, so Vince got a text from Rick that said, I think your product is a little bit bad and you're not treating my daughter very, very well, which I think is kind of mind-boggling. It seems like she's all over the bloody show.
Well, then this was, you know, I assume this would have been a couple of months ago when Charlotte wasn't on Mania. You know, it was that weird time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. And Vince's reaction to that was like, well, let's fire him then. Like, what do you get out of that?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, if, you know, if Nick Khan wants to make loads of cuts, yeah, this guy. So yeah, it's at least by what the Wrestling Observer is saying, it's not as like one-sided as Fightful and Wrestling Inc. have made it out to be. But you know, who knows? Maybe it's a bit of both. Probably is. The opening segment was Bobby Lashley and MVP coming out. MVP cut a promo. He was very good. So good that he got, I think he was a large part of why the crowd initially booed Goldberg, and then they cheered for Goldberg when he eventually interrupted. Goldberg comes down, cuts this completely nonsense promo. It's ridiculous. I'll go through it in a second. He sort of fist bumps Sundberg, who was at ringside on the way down, who now looks like a 25-year-old, fully grown adult. And MVP leaves, MVP trash talks Sundberg, Goldberg spears MVP and backs off. And that's it.
Yeah, and I think, and that was the impetus, was Goldberg spearing MVP that later on in the show made Bobby Lashley go, okay, you can have your match.
Yeah, I was a shame. I thought they were going to beat up Sundberg. I thought, I was like, oh my God, this could actually be a pretty good angle. Bobby just has to pull Sundberg over the thing, put in like the lash, like the hurt lock. That's fine. It's just a full Nelson. It won't hurt the kid.
Yeah, it might do. He's Bobby Lashley. He's pretty big.
But yeah, but so Sundberg at this point.
Yeah, but he's only like 16. Like, I don't think, I think there's probably some legal ramifications around that.
Do you think? Can you not beat up kids? Can you not beat up kids in wrestling?
I mean, going by the way that Raw and SmackDown's sort of main events going into SummerSlam have been booked, I'm really looking forward to SmackDown when John Cena Sr. Is in the front row and Roman Reigns gets in his face. And then John Cena runs down and spears Paul Heyman.
Yeah, God, it's not even Raw repeating itself now. It's SmackDown and Raw calling back on each other. Okay, right. I've seen so many people say they do chant AEW.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's on a lot, like pretty much every single show.
I don't think it's a big chant, but whatever. I was right about the Punk versus Kenny thing all out. So.
You don't know if you're right about that yet, though. You don't know if you're right.
And so this promo Goldberg cut, I watched it. I watched it again to write the notes down, and then Pete was making the thumbnail, and we were going back and forth on the news thumbnail, and I was watching the promo again and retelling him, like I was just repeating. It was so much fun. I should have written it out, because it's like, I'm a gladiator, you're a glad, this is Goldberg speaking, and you're a gladiator, Bobby Lashley. But this isn't a Colosseum. This is Chicago. And Chicago can smell fear a mile away. And you either crapped your pants or you're scared. It doesn't matter if I'm 35, 45, or 105. I live by the spear. And you're going to die by the spear.
Just like, you're next.
What? And I'm, that's it. I'm Goldberg. And you're next. I'm saying, what are you saying? This is just nonsensical bits.
Everyone is saying like, oh man, poor Damian Priest got rattled by the CM Punk chants. I think old Billiam got rattled by the Bray Wyatt chants. I think it totally took him off his game.
Totally agree, because I doubt that Chicago line was in there. I think he chucked Chicago in there as like a hometown. It's a cheap pop.
You could tell that he was getting off, because he kept going, ha, 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 as a way to sort of like pause for a bit. I'll just do a little like laugh, and then I'll remember what I'm supposed to do next. Like a Shane Douglas.
Probably Shane Douglas thing, yeah. Doesn't matter if I'm 35, 45, or 105. Anyway, complete nonsense, rubbish build. Not even a kid got beaten up.
Also, this is a feud between...
Why should I care?
Bill versus Bobby. Doesn't sound like a SummerSlam main event. I'm not into this at all, man. I'm just not into it whatsoever.
They then cut to Drew's dick.
Just chatting nonchalantly with not Renee. Just leaning on his sword. Just like, have you seen my sword? It's pretty big, isn't it?
So I am exaggerating a little bit. It did start on Drew's feet and knees with the sword slightly in the foreground, but then it did pan up across the, you know, his sheathed weapon. And Corey Graves, surely he knows what he's doing. He's just like, look at the size of Drew McIntyre's sword.
That is a Vince line. Vince is screaming down the headset, talk about how big the sword is, pal. Talk about how big the sword is.
If Drew's new gimmick is look at my dick, fine. I think that's quite fun. Yeah. Just a few points, though. Wasn't one of the main things Drew did recently that he only took replica swords to shows?
Well, and not the
family heirloom.
Yeah, so now we know.
It's just another replica.
And it's not to be. So I don't know why Shanky or Veer, whichever one it was terrified when Drew was pointing a foam sword at him. Because he knows it's a replica at this point.
Drew's made it awkward for me to laugh about the sword, because he's now named it after his passed on mother. So, and, you know, it's called Angela. And I'm just like, oh, I don't. I don't want to make fun of the sword now. I'll make fun of his dick instead. Shawing. Anyway, Drew has a handicap match against Veer and Shanky. This was, I think, every single match, but the main event went roughly 3 minutes. This was another 3-minute match. Jinder Mahal caused the DQ. All the heels had chairs. Drew McIntyre got a sword. It was a fun visual, but you should never bring stabby implements into wrestling, I think, because he's just like, where do you go from here? And Drew chased him off.
Can I ask you a very simple question? Why are we protecting Shanky and Veer? Why hasn't Drew just pinned either of these chumps? Like, they're the Bollywood boys. Like, a little bit like
bigger.
Bollywood boys, but bigger. Why? Yeah. Like, they're there to be pinned. Why are they constantly being DQ'd?
No, there's your answer. They're bigger.
Come on, mate. You're absolutely right. But, like, it's nonsense. Why isn't Drew pinning these guys? And if that's the case, why give Jinder massive heavies?
This talk actually reminded me of something personal I wanted to bring up. I found an online erectile dysfunction community.
Luke. Oh yeah.
I was thinking about signing up. It's not hard to join.
Okay.
True story. Nia Jax took on Rhea Ripley next. Again, went 3 minutes. I thought this was pretty good, though, because they just did everything. Loads of near falls. Nia got busted open. Blood was pouring over half her face. And Rhea Ripley won when Shayna tried to interfere.
Yeah, and then Rhea Ripley then laid out Nia Jax afterwards with the Riptide, and the commentary were like, oh my God, look at the impressive on the Nia Jax. And I was like, why don't you just hit the move and win then? Like, why did we have to have all the Shayna nonsense? What's going on? Why did we have to have? And I'll be honest with you, not a distraction finish. This was actually less of a distraction than MVP at WrestleMania going, yo, Drew, and Drew then losing. Mm. It was like Shayna was just there. And then Nia got pins. That was the distraction. So, yeah, I really think you probably could have just had her hit a finish and win.
It was a Reggie distraction, if I ever did saw one. Something that Shayna was pretty annoyed about a lot. Yeah. So I guess this is the start of Shayna and Nia breaking up. SummerSlam feud, you reckon?
Oh, God, no. No, this will be on Raw. This isn't SummerSlam. God, no.
After that, we had Ali and Mansoor versus Mason T-Bar, a redo of the match last week. Ali was so over here. Hometown boy, Chicago. And, you know, they are a good act. Now that RK-Bro isn't actually featured on Raw, it's just Riddle with Orton not around. I think they're actually the best thing on Raw, these two. Yeah,
I'd say so.
And the idea of them still being together, because last week was meant to be a one-off. Mansoor convinced Ali to team with him. Is that they keep winning, but they lost here again in 3 minutes, and then they were further laid out. So Mansoor got pinned, and then Ali got laid out as well with the double choke slam.
Yeah, for the heat, brother, because Ali's a Chicago boy, he had to lose here for all that heat. And I'm sure when Mason T-Bar come out next week in Florida, they're going to get nuclear heat, brother, because they beat up Ali in front of his hometown of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who really cares? What I did like in this is that Ali pushed Mansoor out of the way. So Ali was checking on Mansoor afterwards, and then Mason T-Bar are behind him. And Ali's like, okay, I know they're behind me. Pushes Mansoor away, turns around and gets chokeslammed. So at least that's a bit of development in the story.
Yeah, maybe, but like, why do we have this match again? B, mm-hmm. why the bloody hell are Mansoor and Ali? Why, like, are we pushing Mason T-Bar? Or is it literally just like, it's filling time? Like, that's all this is. It's just filling time.
I'm surprised they're still doing that, because I thought they were filling time until fans came back. And now it feels like they're filling time until SummerSlam.
But surely SummerSlam's a big show. You want to be filling the time with good stuff to build SummerSlam.
Charlotte was not to be outdone by the rambling promo of Goldberg earlier. She came out next. Tried to tie Simone Biles' Olympic withdrawal into her promo about sort of mental health issues, nervous breakdowns and stuff. But really, the promo was about people keep cashing in on me when they win Money in the Bank. Yeah. So that didn't work. And
one
it took forever.
Like the other.
Yeah,
and she knew, Flair knew that this was a bad promo because she kept saying, bear with me, I'm going somewhere with this. As if to be like, this crowd is going to turn on me as soon as I start talking. Bear with me, I will get to a point.
Do you think my theory is McMahon was like, Simone Biles pulled out because of mental health reasons, make fun of that. So that someone has to put it in a promo, and Charlotte did the best she could with it.
Maybe. I would wager that he doesn't even know who she is. That's almost too in tune with pop culture.
Yeah. Well, she's been around for a fair while. Anyway, Charlotte's under the ring. She's trying to find weapons, and she's cutting the promo while throwing weapons into the ring. I do like Charlotte's kind of delivery sometimes, because it does feel quite naturalistic. But this went on a bit too long. She gets in the ring. She challenges Nikki to a no-holds-barred match in the main event. And Nikki attacks her from behind with like a baby face.
Yeah. His was no good. And I'd already announced it was a no-holds-barred match as well on social media or something. Yeah, it was no good. A bit rambly. But I like Flair's delivery. I like Flair as a character. It's just that I think this Nikki A.S.H. feud with Rhea Ripley is not working. However, at least...
Who's Nikki A.S.H.?
Sorry, almost a superhero Nikki A.S.H. I do apologize.
Got it.
That was all on me. At least that these two aren't the worst promos of the feud, because we get a real one later on. Bloody hell.
Doudrop took on Tamina and lost pretty quick. 3 minutes. But felt
who
like
did
10.
Win this?
Tamina.
Did she really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's been speculation that Doudrop was kind of... She was in the spot when Natalya hurt her leg last week, so she might be out for a while. So maybe it was a punishment. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I hate this story anyway, but like they've got this, there's dissension between Eva and Doudrop. Every week there's dissension between them. And yet at the very next segment, Doudrop is doing what Eva Marie asks of her, with absolutely no explanation whatsoever for why Doudrop is still with Eva Marie. It's so incredibly lazy, this story.
Yeah.
And like, I quite like I thought the Lily Lucian thing last week was quite funny. I thought it was easily the best thing that crap thing has done since it debuted on the main roster. And that is a very low bar to leap. And it had to do was just trip over it like Eva Marie. Mm-hmm. And it successfully did so. And then this week, like, Alexa gets onto the screen and she's like, the loser of this match is Eva Marie, doing like the Eva Marie thing, which I thought was also pretty good. And then I actually thought that Doudrop came across as the baby face later on, because she stopped Alexa Bliss doing a promo and absolutely kicked the crap out of her on the floor. I don't know, man. It's... The crowd tried to jump for Bray Wyatt and it didn't really catch on.
Producer Rich has told me that the chat want to see Eva Marie falling over from the other week, but they're going to get this guy instead. Because criminally, the biggest babyface in the company, again, was not used. Come on, guys. So after that, we got Riddle backstage. He says he doesn't need help from Damian Priest. He's got the power of Randy Orton coursing through his veins. Usual fun Riddle stuff. Priest, meanwhile, I love Priest. I liked him before he was cool, back in the Ringer of Honor days, where I can't remember his name.
Punishment Martinez.
Such a cool name. But Riddle's like, you should probably be somewhere, you know, in a hot tub with girls. I was like, was that ever something on the main roster? Or was that all that NXT?
That was his NXT gimmick.
Yeah. So they're just, they think Priest is a playboy character because he does not come across that way.
But I think he sort of is on the main roster as well because he was hanging out with Bad Bunny for a bit. And Bad Bunny was like a party boy. So I think sort of Priest was a party boy alongside him.
I don't know. He comes across so plain. Damian Priest was then on Miz TV.
God. This was an awful half hour of television. And you can't tell me, I don't know if it did go half hour, but bloody hell did it feel like it.
So let's run through it. Priest was on Miz TV. CM Punk chance sort of derailed him. He seemed to get a bit confused, but Miz and Morrison, you know, helped back out. Turned into a match with Morrison versus Priest. Priest won, thankfully. I think the only positive of this segment is Priest technically racked up two victories. Then Sheamus runs in because they're feuding over the US title. Ricochet comes in for the babyface save. We get another tag match, goes 3 minutes, as did the singles. And Priest wins that again by pinning Morrison.
Why did Morrison pin Riddle last week?
Oh, but that was a Moss and AJ.
No, well, I know, but like, what did Morrison get? Because like, surely you want to be making Matt Riddle look good because him and Randy are presumably challenging for the tag titles at SummerSlam. So why on earth did Morrison win last week? Because clearly they don't care about Morrison. He got pinned twice here by Damian Priest in a matter of 10 minutes. So why on earth were we protecting him last week? What was the purpose of that?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm more of a fan of the big baby faces going into major matches with a lot of wins behind them. But they wins and losses don't matter in this company.
Oh, we will get to that when we get to the bloody Karrion Kross thing. Smegging hell, man.
We had Riddle versus Amos after this. I thought it was going to be more of an angle, especially with AJ Styles not out there. That was weird by his absence, but, you know, who knows why people are missing these days. Riddle started off hot, really went for Amos, but Amos just chucked him around over the barricade. Did some pretty good near countout spots, but in the end, Amos won with the tree slam. I thought Amos looked good, but again, another loss for Riddle.
This is honestly, I think, outside of Mansoor and Ali as a tag act, even though I thought that match was stupid, this was my favorite thing on the show. I think this is the best that Amos has looked on the main roster. Like, because people have been very critical of his selling, and rightly so. I thought he looked really good here. I thought Riddle made him look awesome. This is the best anyone has done to make Amos look like the big towering giant that he is. So massive credit to Matt for that. I thought this was really, really pretty good. And it was a nice, like, Matt taking a loss here to Amos doesn't matter so much in the grand scheme of them going for the tag titles. But him taking a loss to Morrison last week makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Still no Randy Orton. He was advertised for this show locally.
Well, he's probably taking photos outside of VIP doors that say Elite on them or something so he can negotiate a good contract.
Well, he's the main recruiter for them at the moment. The amount of people he's written off WWE TV. Bliss and Lily are doing a pre-recorded promo. Doudrop and Eva attack them, lay them both out. And then once they've gone, Lily stands up by herself in footage that was just obviously rewound.
Oh, it looked so silly. Like, it looked so silly. For a company that keeps saying, we make movies. They make movies real bad. I did effects better than this when I was a student. And I made pretty bad movies when I was a student. Yeah, this was real bad. I saw someone say on Twitter that like the only way that this can work is if it's to tie in with the Chucky TV series that's airing on Sci-Fi. And you can do some sort of crossover with that because, you know, networks have said they want to do more crossover things. It's literally the only good thing I can see coming out of this. Because, like, Lily's not going to be able to do this stuff in front of a live crowd. She ain't real.
I think there's one other good thing that's come out of it.
Oh, Ollie, you're such a hater. You can clearly see that Dewdrop tripped her up. It's all part of a big story. Let it play out, Ollie.
Speaking of big stories, the reported story is that Karrion Kross was originally meant to go on a long losing streak after his Raw debut. So he was going to lose to Jeff Hardy last week, but of course Jeff got COVID and he's had to self-isolate or tested positive at least. And then Scarlett Bordeaux was going to join him and then he was going to start winning. That's the grand story, which is still crap.
Oh, yeah. And it makes zero sense because he's with Scarlett Bordeaux in NXT, which is the same. It's the same show as Raw and SmackDown. It's part of the same world. So it makes really little sense that Karrion Kross, because we never saw Karrion Kross do a promo where he was like, do you know what, Scarlett? Like, we've got a really good act here in NXT, but I want to go to the main roster and sort of prove my worth there on my own. No, he just came out on his own. And then the story they've got, like this brilliant, genius story. It's like, oh man, he's going to like go on this losing streak. And that's how we're introduced Scarlett Bordeaux. Don't know why these internet fans are losing. If that was your plan, which were bad, by the way, why did he beat Keith Lee last week then? Why didn't Keith Lee just beat him last week to continue that story? Because clearly you're not doing that story anymore, are you? This writer did this quote with Andrew Zarian. And he said, and I quote, I don't understand why people are freaking out on the internet. It's leading to something. Why don't people understand? We're telling a story. The match doesn't matter. The story matters. And that's why this company is terrible. It's why this company is making the worst wrestling product in the world. It is a dreadful TV show because of crap like this, of a writer literally saying, yeah, the match doesn't matter though, does it? It's the story. The match is part of the smegging story, you imbecile. And then what happens here? Oh, Keith Lee just wins. So now the pair of them are 2-1 in their returns. Awesome. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
The scenes don't matter. It's the story of the film. I totally agree. This was better than their match last week. I thought Keith Lee showed some real fire. Not so much fire. It seemed to mean a lot for him. And he's so good at facials and communicating stuff non-verbally that I feel like the crowd got that. And I certainly at home got that. So when he won I just love the spirit bomb as well. When he won, he had tears in his eyes.
First win in months.
I know.
Win since coming back.
Wins and losses don't matter apart from to Keith Lee, who loves winning.
Keith Lee's so great as well. Yeah. Just so great. I wish his booking matched it. This Karrion Kross thing is an absolute bomb. Coming out, he's coming out to less reaction as the weeks go on.
He got a little promo as well. He's got an egg timer. We got the Rhea promo backstage, which was typically wooden.
Why is she so bad at this?
It's a talent to do WWE scripts well. Then we got Reggie. He's now called Reggie. He's not called Reginald anymore, our 24/7 champion, who not only has dropped the accent and has also changed his name from Reginald to Reggie. He is now, in this gimmick change, a serious wrestler. Because he's not just an untrained wrestler who can flip away from people. I thought he beat Akira Tozawa quite legitimately here.
So I had a bit of a rant about Reggie last week. I did two swears because I did not enjoy the segment. Mm. However, it was the most watched thing on YouTube for WWE from Raw. So he's now on SmackDown as well. Because WWE are like, oh, wow, he did a big thing on YouTube. He's actually the biggest star we have now. So I'm sure we're going to get this every single week until people don't care anymore. And this will probably do, again, really well on YouTube because the man did some flips and people like the flips. But, you know, can't do that with Ricochet, heaven forbid. So, yeah, well, like, whatever it is. I don't care.
Yeah. And then the main event was Nikki Cross versus Charlotte Flair. Who? Damn it. I made fun of you earlier. Almost a superhero, Nikki A.S.H. is how they referred to her every time. Taking on Charlotte Flair in a no-holds-barred. I'm pretty sure this was also described as a championship contender match. Yeah, despite Charlotte already winning that last week and already having a shot at the title for SummerSlam, they're just words. WWE is doing like what every dictatorial regime do, and that is attacking the truth of language, where they're just making every word mean nothing.
Sports entertainment. Like, that is the, like, you know, 30 plus years Vince is trying to kill the world, the word wrestling, and replace it with sports entertainment, and has failed spectacularly. And they still try.
I actually really enjoyed the spectacle of this match, though. I thought the crowd, you know, because all you had to do was give the crowd something. They were ready to give you a great reaction. And Charlotte and Nikki gave them a lot of action. Like, you got table spots, you got a barricade break, you got an announcer's table spot. The problem was, as much as I enjoyed it, the story was really bad. Because it was, honestly, 98% Charlotte.
Yeah, it was the same match we had last week, only this with a bit more plunder this time and a bit more spectacle. And it was Charlotte dominating the match. And the only reason Charlotte lost is because she threw herself through a table and then Nikki hit a neck breaker for the win. And the commentators, bearing in mind she is the Raw Women's Champion who cashed in on Charlotte Flair successfully just 2 weeks ago, were like, I cannot believe that she won. What an upset. I can't believe this actually happened. This would have never have happened. I'm stunned beyond all belief that Nikki A.S.H., almost a superhero, Nikki A.S.H., actually managed to get a win here. And so, like, so Nikki's now proven that she can win. So does that mean her character's arc is done?
No, she's got to prove it against Rhea Ripley now for 2 weeks. And then there's the SummerSlam three-way. And everyone will go in with the equal amount of wins and losses. Rhea Ripley's going to beat her once, and then Nikki's going to beat her back. Yeah. I mean, it's quite obvious what's going to happen. I did enjoy the match, and I thought they worked really hard. But I... Charlotte here, for this story to work, Charlotte has to be quite... a black and white heel. And I thought she behaved here quite selfishly as a performer, because she soaked up the very fun crowd pops, almost becoming a badass tweener. And that is not what she should be doing here. She should know that. There was a point when the whole crowd were chanting for tables and she brought out a table. I was like, that's like psychology 101. You're a bad guy.
But she had to bring out the table because that was the spot. Like, that's the spot that she had to do. Nikki can't get the table out. Nikki's not getting any offense in. So Flair had to be the one to get the table out.
Well, she improvised in the promo. I don't know why she can't improvise here. So overall, I mean, I gave it 3 out of 5. I actually stand by that because I think the quality of Raw has been so bad this year. I enjoyed this more than last week. But who cares anymore? It's nonsense.
I don't know how. I mean, like, I thought it was a boring. I'd have probably given it 2 out of 5 because that's exact. It was the exact same show as last week. So when I gave that, I think I gave that 2 out of 5. Not that it really means anything anyway. But like, the community tab, 51%, 1 out of 5 Rawful, 26%, 2 out of 5 poor, 19%, 3 out of 5 average, 51%. That is basically, what's it like, 90%? 95% of the audience gave that 3 out of 5 and lower. 75% giving it 2 out of 5 or lower.
Just keep that up there for a second, sorry. There you see that tapering off that we experience in WWE polls. And, you know, you should statistically see those, the tapers off, where 51, 26, 19, 3, 2%. If this was an AEW show and those were flipped, the 1 out of 5 would be higher than 2 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting, isn't it? I find it actually sort of like our audience reactions to the show. I find it to be very, very interesting. And yeah, like that is, I think people are, when I listen to the Fightful post show, the amounts of chats that Sean and Denise get on a weekly basis, and we get them as well. And I get them more and more on Twitter every single week, which is that, I don't watch the show anymore, but I'm really looking forward to your review because I heard it was bad again. And there are people who really are just giving up on this show wholesale. Mm.
thank you for all of your... I don't know why I can't transition into this. We're doing Patreon shout-outs now, and then we'll do the rest of your Ultra Chats. Please do go over to Patreon and become a pledge hammer today, because we've got a lot in store for summer. It's the streamiest stream of the summer, right?
Streamiest party of the summer.
Because we're all going to be double vaxxed and we're coming into the office, baby. I've got my vaccination in an hour and a half, so I can't be too long. I've got to ride to the library where I'm having it done. And yeah, we're going to do like a whole week of in-person streams starting on the 16th, I believe, Monday the 16th for the 50K celebration. Raw review, SummerSlam predictions, AEW review, AEW live reactions for that Rampage where we believe CM Punk might be popping up, and then SummerSlam the next night, and then NXT TakeOver. And of course, as part of all of that, Wrestle League. You can only take part in that by becoming a pledge hammer on Patreon.
Yeah, we're doing like 11 streams in 7 days or something along those lines. I think actually it might be slightly more than that. It might be 12 streams in 7 days. Summer stream is pretty
Why
good.
Why have we
actually.
Not come up with that?
Well, that's because we've got Summer Jam is our paper.
Summer Jam, yeah. Gregory knows. Gonna get that jab in my leg for the Pfizer.
I actually rewatched that on the best Patreon. Of.
Did I make the best of?
You did make the best of, yeah. And all our big chat about banging a load of powder made it into the best of as well, because of course it did.
Have you noticed I'm trying to get something new over by telling bad jokes like they're personal anecdotes?
Do you want to borrow one? And you can do it on a different... Oh, no, because you need to ever do streams with me. Because you can tell it to someone else. Tell me
off air. Also, yeah. If you become a Patreon at a certain tier, you can get a shout out and wrestling nickname on this very show as part of our Wrestle Talk Hall of Fame. So thank you. They are Spartacus.
The heir to the throne, Kate Ayers.
NJ Hornsberg.
The million dollar man, sorry, the $100 man, CD Horver.
The Cyclone, Brandon Sires.
One of the all-time greats, the mayor of Painesville, Dan.
I'll follow that up with another all-time great, the Kessel Run DX Solo.
Ryan Disco Stewart.
Superkick, Mick Mazesco.
Zarjeth.
The British Bulldog, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr.
And lastly, for this Hall of Fame class on the 3rd of August 2021, he's a sexy man, not an Andrew Gross man.
Oh, I thought you were then going to go, Gross man.
I like the audience to like have it in their head rather than me sort of.
Oh, that's it. Good. You can hear them singing along. Give some exactly, cheap pops yeah. to all those wonderful pledge hammers. As we go through your Ultra Chats, Moshmaster D, how can the announcers call a Nia rematch while holding a straight face? That has to be the toughest part of the show for the team. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. There's also another one, one slightly above. Oh, no, I think our mods are moving it. Don't worry.
Kevin, to answer Ollie's question that he probably didn't ask, I think Riddle was off script referring to Priest's character in NXT when he won the North American title and celebrated in a hot tub with girls and champagne. I wish he was still the Archer of Infamy.
Kevin, he still is.
That's a bit of a lame name as well, though, isn't it?
Oh, Archer of Infamy was such... Me and Laurie used to think that was the funniest thing on NXT because it's quite a lame name. And he does his little like arrow thing as well. It's proper corny. But no, he is still the Archer of Infamy. He's still doing all of that stuff. Mm. And it's not Riddle going off script as well. Like that is a no-no thing. Like that is him 100% sticking to the letter of the law.
AJ, do you think Chicago is dead for WWE? With all the AEW hoopla and WWE putting that show on last night, don't think they can run Chicago again like that? No, not at all. They're a very hot wrestling city and WWE is huge. Alfonso Jones, hey guys, I was at Raw last night and they were still selling Fiend merch at the show. Also, the booze for Goldberg was strong until Goldberg chant started out of nowhere in the building. Thanks for all you do. Out of nowhere is in quotes there. Alfonso, well,
that was the WCW. That was the WCW method, where they used to pipe. They used to pipe the chant into the crowd, like part of the audience mix, to try and, you know, get the audience on board. And as soon as the crowd realized that that's what they're doing, that's when the Goldberg chants pretty much stopped happening.
Nicholas Lama. In Charlotte's promo, she did call her Nikki A.S.H. Cross, so don't feel bad, Ollie. Keep dancing and jam that jam. Alfonso Jones again. Reggie got a bigger crowd reaction than Karrion Kross on the show. Also, whenever the women were on the show, there were big We Want Becky chants. Nonstop Goose.
Sorry, that just on that Karrion Kross thing, Denise Salcedo pointed this out on Twitter, but Reggie as 24/7 champion is being booked better on Raw than the NXT champion is. Let that sink in.
Nonstop Goose. WWE literally has a guy on their roster who made it big doing flips, and they're pushing Reggie. Found you guys during the pandemic and couldn't have done it without you. Thanks for all you do. Oh, thank you, Nonstop Goose. Matthew Robinson. I still don't understand what they don't see in Keith Lee or Cross, that they are doing 50-50 booking. What more do these guys have to do to stand out? Win something on the main roster? I don't know. That's
right. Yeah, but like, you control that. You can have them do that. It's made up. It's a make believe sport.
Eduardo Surrens. You know how bad WWE booking is when the 24/7 champion is booked better than the NXT champion. The 24/7 title is comedy. The NXT title is the top brand title. This is just sad, Luke.
This company.
Mayor of Painesville, Dan. Hey guys, hope you're doing well. I just want to comment on the release of Ric Flair. Can you believe the disrespect, not wishing him well? He did everything for them, and then he dares to leave and criticize them for their BS, and they don't wish him well. They don't typically...
They have officially done it now.
Oh, have they? They don't typically do that for non-main roster people, so people on Legends contracts. They didn't do it for Mark Henry or Paul White, for instance. Plus, I wouldn't say, like, I wouldn't put too much truth in that whole Ric Flair did everything for WWE. He goes where the money is. He went to TNA, remember?
So WWE wrote on their website, "We have come to the terms with the release of Ric Flair as of today. There was no wishing him well in his future endeavors."
Ooh, interesting. Nicholas Lama. Poor 2K games over there, like John Travolta searching GIF for an actual roster for the game, and so glad that WWE saved their strong creative for the return of live crowds. The boredom on Goldberg's son's face spoke volumes. I think that's just being a teenager, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, he's not interested.
Very happy when you're a kid. No.
It's not cool anymore.
Chozo55. Hello, Luke and Nostra Davis.
Yeah, I mean, like, it sucks that Ric Flair lost his job and everything. But I did almost, I was like, man, I actually laughed. I was like, Ollie literally predicted this about 2 hours ago.
Question. Considering there are people who are loyal to WWE product, regardless of quality, what do you think will finally cause even the most diehard fan to go, oh, that wasn't a good idea? Nothing. Those people are completely blind.
Them going into a grave will be the reason why they stop watching.
Kevin. My simple mind cannot stop to care about stories, even knowing this company don't. James McAvoy's voice. I don't know what to do. Good callback, Kevin. Anonymous, am I the only one who thinks that Wyatt's release is a work? Yes. So much stink around The Fiend, they release Wyatt so he can come back as a cult leader with other release stars, Braun, Bo, Rowan. It makes sense. But WWE never makes sense. So Bray to AEW.
I know a lot of people think it's a work because they release Bray Wyatt and not The Fiend. there are some people who think that Tony and Nick Khan are like... they are related, and it's Nick working alongside Tony to like send him like the best talent he possibly can.
Honestly, yeah. And them and Randy Orton. James Hanley. Might I suggest creating Raw bingo cards for you guys to follow during the episode? The spaces can be labeled things like True Sword promo, T-Bar and Mace is still T-Bar and Mace, and Distraction Roll-Up Finish. At least then you can get some joy.
That's not a bad idea.
I don't think that'll make it more fun.
I don't know, but Andy Datson, if you are watching, there's a social media thing for you. Get to work.
Martin Ward. Pretty late joining here regarding Bray. Wherever he shows up, I hope he steps away from the supernatural and gothic. Fantasy booked him as Michael Douglas's character in Falling Down. Instead of walking home, he's walking his way to a world title. That's quite interesting, isn't it? I don't think Bray is into the supernatural stuff. I think he's smart and does ground it in psychological realism. I think it's Vince who forced the supernatural stuff.
Charles Berg with the poor review. Let me just get the picture up here. Jackson Riker is a sweet mixed breed of COVID denialist and unpatriotic American. He enjoys long walks on streets after protesters have been tear gassed, and most likely joined the army to legally kill people. Ooh. 11 out of 10, pure babyface, JK, JK. He's got the actual dog here to say, Archie is a sweet 11-month-year-old beagle who is still learning not to eat everything on the street, super energetic, and a super sweet dumb boy. 11 out of 10 nicknames, Archibald, Archie Bunker, Archie Do Try Humps. I'm 28 now, yikes. Oh, yeah, happy birthday.
Oh, what, happy birthday today?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, happy birthday, Charles Berg.
Stephen Duggan, hi guys, just banged a load of powder. Also, I've set up an AEW Island fan group for the socials. Cheap plug. Do you think dropping the Hangman story is really happening? I have a feeling we're getting worked. Surely Paige won't be off TV for a month. I think that it'll be Hangman versus Punk at All Out. That's the main event.
Oh, the drinking Paige and the straight edge Punk.
Yeah.
I think Punk will work better as a heel. Just
We had this on the Friday show. I think he should definitely 100% come in as a heel. Well, we said like you can Bret Hart the situation. So he is a heel everywhere except for Chicago, where he's the babyface.
It's a bit awkward though if you debut in Chicago.
Well, yeah, you know. Russell B, just become a Patreon. Cancelled my Peacock premium. Just saying, can't wait for the MJF to come out to Cult of Personality at AEW First Dance. Also been watching all the way back when Luke joined the channel. Can't watch WWE anymore. Thank you very much. TY, just TY, what do you think of Nicholas versus -1? What type of match should they have? Braun on a pole match.
Yeah. Well, yeah, with Braun officiating, I don't know.
Brawn on a shark cage. That'd be really good. Matthew Robinson, I was not able to chat with the AEW show, but I'm still getting chilled for that Hangman Page Dark Order entrance. How can wrestling be so different compared to Raw? Brandon Vink fan says, congrats, gents, on returning to the office. On the first day back, Ollie should come in and say, where the hell have you been? And leave Ella VKM. And lastly, for Gregory Nelson, it's my best friend Amelia's birthday. She's a big fan. I'm hoping you guys could wish her a happy birthday. Thanks, guys. Jam that jam. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year, Amelia. Gregory Nelson's a mod. He'd have done that for you without you having to chat in.
Yeah.
Thank you ever so much, everybody, for joining us here today. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It helps us out more than anything else you can do. And if you want to give that little bit extra more support, go over to Geekology. Just click the link. What did I say?
Geekology.
It's because that's a funny meme blog. Geology. Links in the video description below. All you have to do is click that link, take that 30-second test. It really helps us out just if you click the link. So check it out. And yeah, make your skin look as youthful and gorgeous as Luke's.
Oh, it's been so good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, just click the link in the video description down below. It's a very, very short quiz. Please do. It really helps this channel out. Thank you also. And thank you to Geology for sponsoring the show and for providing me with luscious skin. Oh, we've got one more chat just come in from Rini that says, hey guys, I'm not going to talk about Raw, so I'm going to talk about what they got rid on Raw. I would enjoy a Bray Wyatt Hangman Page feud where Bray tries to bring the Dark Order to the dark side and Page is trying to keep them in the light.
Yeah, I don't want Wyatt to be anywhere near the Dark Order. I'm a bit over Dark Order leader stuff.
Dark Order have been making fun of that. And like when I think it was John Silver yesterday, they're like, oh, Adam Cole, he could be the leader of the Dark Order.
Because it's like Flair.
Any person that gets released is like, oh yeah, they should be the leader of the Dark Order. Mm. A As much as I had a lovely day on Saturday, the Bray Wyatt news notwithstanding, although I didn't find out about that until I got home, which is about sort of 9 p.m. I actually found out about that news. I had massive FOMO on Saturday because you were away with the boys. You, Laurie, and Adam went to the UK Games Expo. I got a text message from Adam. he sent me a photo of you at a stand and just said, "Miss you, buddy." And I was like, "Oh, I really miss you guys too. I wish I was there." How was it?
Yeah, it was great. It was really cool. Should I show you what I've bought?
Yes, please.
So this is because my lady partner just shoved it all on my desk. I thought I was buying stuff for us, but no.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is Colossal.
It is
a solo RPG where you sort of journal down what you're doing. And yeah, it's like a whole fantasy world that takes place within a giant castle. But there's room is a sea.
It doesn't sound like you bought that for you and your partner to play.
No, she can read it. She can read it.
She can watch me do it.
I did get this. It's Mutants. It's another RPG. It became quickly apparent I don't know what RPG means. So we can't really use this. Can't really use it, but it's cute. But this one we can. It's like an escape game in a box.
Cool.
Which me and Laurie had a trailer go at, which was really fun. But these are reusable, so I can give this to you afterwards if you want to have a go. It's not like an exit game where you destroy bits. And this, which Laurie recommended.
Oh my God, that is the best. For podcast listeners, this is Micro Macro Crime City. Dude, it is rad. My brother and I, because my brother got it, and when I was down at his in Bosham a few weeks back, he had it like laid out, his girlfriend's a bit posh, laid out on top of her grand piano. And honestly, we had such a laugh. It's so much fun. And like that as well, because you know, if you are feeling it, it's a good art project for like you and your partner to do together because it's all black and white. So you could go and color things in.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's what my brother and his girlfriend are doing. It's tremendous. So, so good. What a purchase.
On the grand piano, playing board games, sipping your Prosecco. So I've got a bougie story. It was £1 more to go up to Birmingham on the train in first class.
I love first
class travel.
I know. Well, that's what I mean. Every single time I feel like I've spoken to you about it.
They give you food.
It was only £15 more expensive to go on first class. So I did it.
And you don't have to sit with other people. It's air conditioned. There's more leg room. People are generally quiet. Anyway, and I was on the same train as Adam and his lady partner. But, you know, I wanted time for myself. I wanted to read. So I was separate to them. Anyway, the train was cancelled. Pingdemic. Not enough staff. So we had to rebook and we booked a new train. It was a bit more expensive, but I didn't have a first class ticket anymore. I'm like, oh, God damn it. And I sit down and I'm near Adam and he's just like got this big grin on his face like... You wanted first class travel and we were just crammed in there. There wasn't, because it was two trains in one, really, all the passengers. And we started moving and I was not facing the way that the train was going. And I get pretty motion sick. And I thought, You know what? No. And I stormed up to first class and I just took a seat. And Adam kept texting me, came down at one point being like, they're going to come and tell you to move or make you buy a ticket. I was like, I had the whole argument in my head that I bought a first class ticket for less money than I am on this train right now. My train was cancelled. My day's been disrupted. I'm not moving and I'm not going to pay for any more. And I was, you know, I was ramped up. And then the guy comes. And he's like, he's going around. And a lot of people had just gone into first class without the tickets, without the backing that I had. And they had to pay, you know, 20, 30, 40 quid more a ticket. And they paid it on the spot. And he gets to me and I give him my spiel. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry about your disruption. Yeah, that's totally fine. And walks off. Cut it.
Did you have to provide proof?
Yeah, he showed him my my cancelled ticket. Oh, okay. Said first class, big letters. They give you, you know, it's all colourful and it's a nice experience. And I got food. I got food.
What food did you get?
But I get that on the way back, I got a chicken barbecue wrap, which was rank, and orange juice, which was orange juice.
First class.
Mm.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad you had a nice time. I had huge amounts of FOMO that I wasn't there.
Yeah, you were missed. Everyone was. We'll go next year and we'll make more of a weekend of it because it is really fun. You just did because I didn't know what to expect. To go around, look at board games, you buy some board games, you go into the adjacent hall, start drinking and play those games. It was wicked.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Before we go, did you do Blood on the Clock Tower?
No, that started quite late. But I saw. Oh no, I won't go into that. That's a surprise.
What a little tease at the end there to wrap up this episode. We've got to get out of here, unfortunately, but we'll be back on Thursday with the AEW review. But Pete and Tempest will be doing the NXT review tomorrow, and then it'll be me and Denise Salcedo on Friday with a special guest and my Taylor Swift song, if I get it recorded in time. If I get it recorded, I'm going to try and get it done tomorrow, but I need to get this magazine article done. Like, that's my priority at the moment. Yes. And I've got lots of stuff I need to book. Anyway, that is all we've got time for. Take care, everyone. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.